The following is a conversation in a series of podcasts discussing topics and issues dealing with high technology crime and digital evidence recovery. These podcasts are presented by Search, the National Consortium for Justice Information and Statistics. This series is made possible through funding from the Department of Justice, Office of Justice Programs, Bureau of Justice Assistance. Hi, I'm Elizabeth Tao, a high tech crime training specialist at Search. This is the first podcast of our series devoted to online resources for law enforcement. Today, we'll visit with Bill Wiltsey, Security Director for Law Enforcement Systems at TLO. Thank you for joining us today, Bill. Can you tell us about your background?
Sure. Thank you for having me. Yeah, again, my name is Bill Wiltsey. I've come to TLO after my former career in law enforcement. I was a police detective in Salem, Oregon. I did that job I was a sworn law enforcement officer in Oregon for 18 years. And ended up doing my last little stint in detectives doing child exploitation investigations. So I'm still doing that here at TLO, but I'm also overseeing our corporate product, which we're going to talk about this morning, the TLO XP product.
Okay, thank you. For law enforcement, finding information about people involved in an investigation is essential. Can you tell us about TLO as a company?
Certainly. TLO is the newest company for our founder, Hank Asher. Many people don't know this, but Hank Asher is actually the father of data fusion as we know it today. Many investigators will know his previous product, Accurant, because much like myself, investigators use Accurant almost every single day when they're doing investigations to try to gather intelligence on suspects and places and this type of thing. Again, our founder created Accurant back in the late 90s and then sold it. TLO is the next generation of a similar product, which we're marketing called TLO XP. So we're located in the city of Boca Raton, Florida. The facility that we're in is about 143,000 square feet, and it's a Category 5 hurricane-proof building. It's actually the old IBM facility where the original PC was built. We have elaborate both physical and logical security that really rivals any police department that I've ever been in. In addition to that, we have a law enforcement task force. The members of this task force are not TLO employees, but they're police officers that specialize in child exploitation investigations, and they do their job from within the building or a section of the building that's been segregated just for child protection crimes.
And can you explain the TLO XP product specifically?
Certainly. As I mentioned before, the former product, Accurant, that many people are familiar with is just an aggregation of a lot of databases or a lot of data sources. TLO XP is the next generation, and it's already in its current form. It is the most powerful investigative tool on the planet, and we're adding more and more data all of the time. Some of this data includes birth records, death records, assessor's records, DMV, criminal histories, sex offender data. Just the best way to get a comprehensive snapshot on someone that an officer is investigating or maybe a location where they think criminal activity has taken place. So we take all that data and we fuse it together, and then we use some really high-powered computers that are fused together to be able to allow these officers to look through literally billions and billions of records very, very quickly. Most cases, a preliminary search on anything in our system will take less than 1 second to return a summary response.
As we know, the financial climate in law enforcement is a constant struggle. What is the cost associated with your product?
Well, the good news for law enforcement is our founder is extremely law enforcement friendly. He considers what police officers do day in and day out as vital for the nation. And so he said early on, in fact, being a former police officer, I was a little skeptical when I heard it. He said that he would be providing access to the core functionality of this new product for free to law enforcement across the nation. So he's done just that, and law enforcement officers to the tens of thousands are using this product for free, and that is forever. Beyond just the core functionality, we have a multi-tiered pricing structure, which allows investigators to really pay for the product based on their budgets and the agency size as they see fit. It's multi-tiered. Investigators can either pay as they go, which just means that there are prices per click. Let's say they want a comprehensive report. They can just click on that and pay for that single item. that's above and beyond the free product. The investigators can also sign up for a flat rate pricing structure that's either what we call seat-based or search-based. The seat-based is basically assigning of seats or members of the agency to have unlimited access to premium features. Those are the only people that have access. So an agency that's small to medium size may pick that, and then those individuals will have unlimited access to the premium features. But we also have a per search flat rate, similar to cell phone minutes, a family cell phone plan. So how that works is every investigator that's on an agency account can basically tap into a certain number of the premium searches. That gives an entire agency the ability to use the premium features without having the cost of actually signing up every single member for a monthly seat. The last pricing option that we have, basically unlimited for the entire agency. Obviously, that's the most, but for some agencies, that one is actually the most cost effective based on how frequently they use a product and how many members of their agency that they have on the account. All three of those are designed to fit any size agency and combination of needs that investigators have expressed to us.
There are many people searching tools available on the internet. What makes TLO XP unique?
Well, like you said, there are many search tools available. In fact, many of them were born out of companies that our founder has previously owned. Before Accurint, he had a product called AutoTrack. You know, a lot of the ones that are out there, Clear, ChoicePoint, these are also either companies or products that at some point in time Hank Escher created or owned. The reason why we're so special is, again, Hank knew how to do this way back then, and he has all these new ideas this time. So much like myself, I'm sure most of your audience members grew up in an era where we didn't have things like the internet. We didn't have computers like we have them today. And so with this new internet-based society, there's a lot more data that, if it's linked together properly, can provide a view of a person or a place or a business, provide a view of that in a way that you can't get it anywhere else. So we're fusing together things like IP addresses and email addresses, again, cell phones, all of the newest technology into a product which is very similar to the way he used to do it. As new technologies are developed, we're constantly on the hunt for businesses that can provide us that data. So again, we can fuse that together with the product and really give investigators something that they can't get anywhere else.
You've described different data that you guys have access to, including cell phones and vehicle personal information, etc. Where is this data pulled from?
We basically have our data in two main areas. There's people and business. We get our data from many sources, including government records, business records, as well as information that's publicly available on the internet. Some of the person information consists of things like photos, either driver's license or arrests, arrest information, sex offender status, employer information, address history, assets, driver license information, professional affiliations, bankruptcies, liens, judgments, as well as relatives and associates. The business information consists of things like subsidiaries, address history, assets, principals, UCC filings, employees, bankruptcy filings, property deeds, and the like. We also are getting more and more information regarding international business as well that we're all rolling up on the business side.
Within TLO XP, there are various ways to search for information. There are the basic searches that are similar to other programs and to Accurint, specific name, date of birth. But can you explain the expert search function within your product?
Sure. The expert search is not really a new idea. In fact, most people are familiar with Google. I mean, Google is one of the most utilized search engines that exist on the internet. So when our founder was putting together the earliest of interfaces for TLO XP, he wanted something like a Google-type search bar where an investigator could put just the information that they knew about at the time, and that would return something that was relevant to what that investigator was looking for. So, for instance, again, in my former life, I may go to the scene of a crime and I may know bits of information like people's first names, maybe make and model of a vehicle, a color, maybe a partial tag. Other things are maybe a cell phone number or a partial cell phone number, maybe places that the individuals live or used to live. the point of the expert search is to allow the investigator to put in these pieces of disparate information and then have our supercomputers look through all of the billions and billions of records and bring back just a limited subset to allow an investigator to possibly find the individual responsible for whatever crime was committed. So one of the things when we're doing our demonstrations, obviously being from Oregon and moving out to Florida, there's not nearly as many people that do that as, say, move from one city in Florida to another. So when I'm doing a demonstration of TLOXP, oftentimes what I'll do is I'll put in to our expert search bar just my zip code that I used to live in and the zip code that I live in now. To most investigators that see this, I mean, they can't believe their eyes because the things that I'm leaving out are my name, either my first or my last name, the birthday, social security number, anything that identifies me personally, it's just two zip codes. So again, these searches return typically in about less than 1 second. But when I search for those two zip codes and nothing else, 4 people in the nation return in the summary information of the TLOXP search. 2 of those people are my wife and myself. So when Hank started this company, the first people he brought into the company were the law enforcement officers. And so law enforcement officers were consulted heavily during the development process. And this is largely why something like the expert search bar exists the way that it does today, because officers said, you know, what would be really, really helpful is something that would allow us to put in information that typically doesn't work in any other search engine, but give us leads or other information we can follow up on in response. And so that's exactly what this does.
Your tool is an asset for agencies to use either alone or to complement the current people searching tools that they have. Can you explain the sign-up process?
Certainly. We didn't talk about credentialing, but I do want to mention that we have a very rigorous credentialing process. As many people might imagine, having access to the types of data that we have in our databases can be a very dangerous thing if that data is in the wrong hands. And so we credential every single organization or every single industry very, very stringently, and that includes law enforcement. As a law enforcement officer, the way that the sign-up process works is we usually direct them to our website, which is just www.tlo.com. There's a sign up now button, and they can fill out a form where they indicate that the industry that they're in is law enforcement, and then they put in all their personal information, including their agency, phone number, etc. What that does on our end is it creates a preliminary account and notifies our credentialing team that this officer has signed up. Now, a lot of times, especially in larger agencies, an investigator may hear about our product, let's say at a training conference, but their agency has already signed up and is using the product. It's just that investigator didn't know about it. So the first thing we do once we get a filled out or a completed form on the website is we start scanning our system to see whether or not that other existing account has already been set up. If that's the case, then we'll send an email back to that investigator letting them know who the administrator for their agency is, and we'll also send an email to the administrator of the account letting them know that this detective or officer has requested to sign up. And so we try to put those two people together because the administrator is capable of creating that account right in-house. In the event we don't have an account set up, then what the officer or the person requesting access will receive is an email letting them know that we need to schedule a time where they can receive calls between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, and that's Eastern Standard Time, so that we can go through the full credentialing process. Once they let us know when would be a good time to call, then what we do is we need to actually call a published agency phone number, so basically the front desk. And we can be transferred, that's fine, but we have to validate the agency by actually calling the numbers that external sources tell us belong to that agency, not what is put in the sign-up form. So essentially, we're validating the agency first. And then once we call the agency and get transferred to the officer, then we go through a process of filling out a terms and conditions form, which is pretty lightweight, but it does involve a supervisor being one of the signers. And then we also require a copy, scanned in or faxed copy, of the agent's law enforcement ID and their credentials as a sworn peace officer in the state. And then once they return those items to us, then we can set the account up, set up the administrators, let them know how we expect them to use the system.
When you talk about how you expect them to use the system, I know that a lot of times people think this is a free tool, so it can be used to search possibly someone they want to go on a date with or things like that. But I know it's very specific for law enforcement and the standards and guidelines that go along with the department. Can you expand on this a little bit and why it's important that guidelines for that agency are followed while using this tool as well?
Yes. As I mentioned before, this is a very, very powerful tool. And so oftentimes we will reference a similar type of tool to law enforcement officers like NCIC. NCIC is something that is very regulated, and officers know at the outset when they are credentialed to use that tool that there are certain rules that they need to follow, and that if they go outside of those boundaries, then they could lose access, and in extreme cases, even an agency as a whole could lose access. And so not that we follow the NCIC guidelines, but we do suggest to relay to officers in the agency that equal care needs to be used when giving these accounts out and when the account administrator is auditing periodically the use of the accounts. Now, we don't do that here internally beyond just spot checks, et cetera. We do have some typical things that you might consider like alerts. If someone were to search for the president, movie star, or something like that, and obviously we get alerted to that, and then we can reach out to the agency administrator to see if that's a permissible function based on whatever it is that they're searching or what the reason they're searching for is. But obviously, we don't know who the investigator's girlfriends are, ex-wives, or anything such as that. And so that's where we rely on the agency administrator to do these periodic checks to make sure it's being used appropriately. And in the event that it's not, then we'll obviously assist in whatever way we can to help the agency administrator deal with that problem. If there's ever a case where something like that happens, if the agency deals with it the way that most would, then the agency account remains active and we go on. In these extreme cases, like I mentioned with NCIC, we do reserve the right to shut down an entire agency's account if we deem that's appropriate.
So the bottom line for it is that it needs to be used with the integrity of any of the other tools that the agency uses.
Absolutely. It's an investigative tool like any other.
Keeping up with technology is crucial in this industry. How are the users of TLOXP kept informed of the changes to the product?
When we do changes, obviously there are minor changes and major changes. Typically, we will not send out or, I guess, spam our investigators with emails letting them know that there have been updates, only because things change so quickly around here that it really would be treated as spam. So what we do instead is we have a team of individuals that produce online training videos. So when there are changes, this team is made aware of those proposed changes very early in the process, and then they can start working on a video to educate investigators on how to transition into this new search box or how things have changed on the system. We also alert them for more minor changes by splash pages and other notifications that pop up when they log into the system. So that's not to say we won't send out emails, but again, we try to limit that just so that investigators don't have one more thing that they have to go through when they come back off of a long weekend.
And Bill, is there a timeout limit that an investigator needs to sign into the account every so often, or is this just once you have an account, it's always there?
No, there is a minimum period. You'll get an alert 30 days if you've not logged into the system in 30 days.
Once an account is established, what is the login process and what do you do to ensure the security of the user's account?
Most everybody that has internet-based accounts, let's say on Gmail or other websites, they're very used to a username password authentication system. Our founder wanted to go beyond that in the event someone did set up an account with a username and password and that information got compromised and someone was able to get into their TLOXP account without their authorization. So what we've implemented on the TLOXP side is a two-factor authentication system. The first is a standard username and password. Like I said, it's pretty standard amongst really any website that you'll go to. But after you input that information into our TLOXP page, then we send a six-digit PIN code to a SMS or text message-enabled device of your choice, which is session-based. So every time that you provide that username password, you get a different PIN code. Then you must provide that PIN code in the website before you're actually able to do any searches. So what that does is a couple different things for the investigator. Number one, in the event that they wrote down their password on a piece of paper and that got stolen, or their email account gets compromised and information about how to log into their TLOxp account is in there, what it does is it prevents that hacker from being able to access any more than just the first stage of our XP authentication. The only way they could get past that would be if that same hacker were to steal the officer's cell phone. The other thing that that does is the officer, if they're out in the field, they're not in front of a computer, if they get a text message on the device that they said is their primary mode of contact by the TLOxp website, then they know somebody is trying to log into their account and probably isn't doing so with any sort of authorization or probably a fraudulent attempt. That way the investigator can start making phone calls either to the agency administrator or to us so that we can shut that down before anything inappropriate is done.
We appreciate you taking the time to share your knowledge with us. In closing, I'd like to get your final thoughts regarding the future vision of TLO and that of TLOxp.
Well, our founder always says that TLOxp is 1% of what it will be in a year. And it really is growing by leaps and bounds all the time. We're constantly on the hunt for new data sets, things that will make our product the best in the world. And then we're committed to providing that to law enforcement. If an agency doesn't have an account, or if you're interested in knowing how to get credentialed, an email to credentialingteam@tlo.com is the first step. If you want to sign up, as I mentioned before, www.tlo.com is a place where you'll do that.
Great. Well, thank you again for sharing your information, and hopefully this will help the law enforcement officers out there to get a better handle on the information that they can use.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for taking the time to join us for this conversation. This project was supported by Cooperative Agreement number 2009-BEBX-K030 with the Department of Justice, Office of Justice Programs, Bureau of Justice Assistance. Points of view or opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the guest and moderators and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice. From all of us here at Search, thank you for listening to this podcast. We hope you will join us again for another edition of Search's High Tech Crime Podcast Series.